I want to thank you. I was sitting here pondering this week and how we've been treated, how I've been treated, and my family through that. I know, speaking only for me, not for my wife or Rebecca or Caden, but I've been treated better than I deserve. And I'll leave it at that, that y'all have blessed me, blessed my heart through the Lord. So just thankful for everything you've done. And I also want to say we're coming to an end of this meeting, and my feeling has not changed. The Lord has great days ahead for this church, Grace Missionary Baptist Church of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm sure of that. I believe it. And when Monday comes, as Brother Isaac was praying, when Monday comes, don't forget that. And when Tuesday rolls around, do not forget that. And when Wednesday, and months, and on as we go, just remember, it's a new day. It's a new day. So I pray the Lord would bless you in that and keep you fervently pursuing the Lord's will. Also for all those that's represented, the mission and Caldwell and Sovereign Grace of Caldwell. And it's a wonderful thing to, and Faith Baptist is represented here from Florida to bring these people from all over and put them together. And there's just a tight knit there. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, I had planned on jumping right into the sermon, but I want to share with you, as Brother Joe's already touched on some things just in his introduction, introducing me. But there's just sometimes when you know something's right, and sometimes the Lord makes you really dig, sometimes the Lord makes it very plain. And it started with the hymns this morning. I'm turning there to the hymns, and you don't have to. I'm just going to read you what was interesting to me. We sang the first hymn, "My Sheep Know My Voice." In verse 1, "My sheep know my voice and the path that I take. They follow wherever I go. My sheep know my voice and come at my call, but a stranger's voice they do not know. My sheep know my voice, and day by day they abide in the fold and go not astray. They love me because I have made them my choice. And they follow my call, for my sheep know my voice." They follow my call. They follow my word, because my sheep know my voice. Then in the next one, we went to 88. The next hymn was page 88. "When I survey the wanderer's cross," verse 2 caught me in this one. "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." So that hit me. And then finally on page 44, in our final hymn, and I'm doing this for a purpose. You're going to see why when I'm preaching. "Jesus is all the world to me," verses 2 and 3. "Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trial sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He is my friend." And then verse 3, "Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend." The Lord orchestrated what hymns that we sang this morning. So with that being said, if you take your Bibles and go to the book of Galatians chapter 6, should be familiar to you. We were just there the other night dealing with a verse. We're going to deal with some more today. As you know, just for a reminder of those that were here and for the sake of those that were not, we dealt with verse 1 of Galatians where it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We dealt pretty much in depth with that. And in verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So we dealt with that. You remember the wheel we put down there and the different aspects of the wheel, the spokes and how the spokes turn. And everyone will get their turn on top, in the middle, at the bottom, coming up, back on top, back down. And we saw that. And I hope it's etched in your brain as the way it was in mine when I was 13 years old, when I first heard of that. But this morning I want to deal with something else that sort of ties into these things. What we will deal with today is verses 7 through 10. So what I'd like to do is back up to verse 1, and I'm going to read the verse 10, and then I'll start with introduction. Verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." If you'd bow your heads with me while we have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank Thee for this day. A wonderful day. It's been a wonderful meeting, and we praise Thee and give Thee all the glory. We thank You for it. Father, You've blessed us. You've blessed us with a good time of fellowship. You've blessed us with a good time of partaking of Thy Word. And Father, I pray that it would feed us this day. And I pray that we would come in here ready to receive, ready to be encouraged, ready to be challenged, and then ready to work. So Father, I pray that You just guide me and I would deliver the message that Thou hast given me. I pray You protect my lips. May my lips be guarded from darkening the message, that Thy message would come through and hit the mark. Father, it's hit the mark with me. I got adjusting to do. I got work to do. So Father, I pray that You'd help all of us this day. Lord, we give Thee the thanks. We love Thee. We praise Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off talking about a word called retribution. Retribution, and I'm not going to call each and every one of you, but if just you question yourself in your mind, do you know what that word means? Retribution. And for those that might be foggy on it, maybe you knew it, but maybe not now as the world turns and we continue to leave good, wholesome words to make new ones, to make sick mean good, and you know, good means sick, and all these things that we do, and you know, my day everything was cool, now everything's sick, and maybe it has moved on. But we need to understand the meaning of words. If there's no meaning in words, then this is no good to us, the Word of God. But there is meaning in words. And I want to look at this word for just a moment, retribution, out of Webster's 1828 dictionary. The first definition is repayment, return, accommodated to the action, reward, compensation. The second definition is a gratuity or present given for services in the place of salary. The third definition is the distribution of rewards and punishments at the general judgment. It is a strong argument for a state of retribution hereafter, that in this world, virtuous persons are very often unfortunate and vicious persons prosperous. Okay, and I'm not getting into that general judgment thing. We're not getting into that. We know the truth. But I will tell you, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 30 and 31 says this. It says, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 19 says, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. The word of God is the most important thing as a saved person you can have in your life. It is the rule and guide. As we heard, as Brother David was saying yesterday, it's our school book. It's the instruction manual for the believer in Jesus Christ. And there's nothing greater than to read the Word and be fed by the Word and find out what I should do and versus what I want to do and to learn from the Word. And I pray that's what we would be here for this day, to worship and to learn and to feed upon God's holy Word. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, I guess you could say this would be the key thought of the day. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I want you to stay with me here as we work through this. Because I know a lot of times when the preacher gets up, the people check out. We're here physically, but our mind leaves us. And there's someone that tempts you to do that. And I don't see anybody doing that, so don't think who's talking to me. No, I just know what it's like to be in the pew. But where we're headed here is sowing and reaping. The law of the harvest. There is a law that will never be broken, and it's the law of the harvest. We will reap what we sow. That's for the unbeliever, and that's for the believer. It's a law that God established. This principle in which we study this day is a solid cord that distributes equally in both directions. It would seem as if this concept that we have lost sight of sowing and reaping. We may have forgotten, but rest assured, God has not. For God is not mocked. Exodus 23:10 says this, in 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. In 23:16 it says, in the feast of the harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. And then in the American commentary it says this, the very laws of their nature are his servants, yet every act of sin expresses contempt for his being, authority, and judgment. Where I'm headed here, folks, is what you do in this life, this short vapor of life, this short time we walk as we pilgrimage and it's a temporary dwelling, the things we do, the things we say, the way we act, it matters. It matters. So With this, as I'm leading up to getting into the text, let's consider this. Some of these are very simplistic illustrations. Some you remember, some maybe you've forgotten. Let's consider an ear of corn. Any of you that's grown gardens, you know when you plant corn, you take a kernel. Put it in the ground. We sow. But what happens is if the everything's been prepared and everything's good and ready, it starts to grow. And we've heard many illustrations from that. But think about this. From one seed, it produces one to two ears on the stalk. That's just the average. On each ear of the corn, the average amount of kernels is 500 to 1,200 kernels, which averages out at 800. You times that times two, we're talking 1,600 kernels from just one kernel. One act brings forth fruit. And that can be good or bad. Can we see today? Are our eyes clear from the fog of this country and this world in which we live? In the day of ease, when we just, everything we want to know is at our fingertips, when we no longer have to dig through books and look back at what the giants of the land, the preachers of the gospel had to say, can we hear? Or is our mind so full of the noise of the world and the things that clutter our ears? Are we deaf? Let us see the word. Let us hear the word. Ephesians 5 and verse 14, if you'll turn there quickly, if you will. I'm going to start at verse 14, just read the 17. We're setting the tone here this morning. Verse 14, it says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The Lord has a will, and his will is for you to be in the center of it. And when you're in the center of it, it brings another will of his, is to be glorified. It gives glory unto him. The purpose that the believer has is to bring glory unto him. And you cannot bring glory unto him unless you're in his will. So back to Galatians now, if you will. We'll get started. First thing we're going to deal with is the harvest of the flesh. The harvest of the flesh. If we look back in our text, verse 8, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." I wrote in the side of my Bible a long time ago here, and I don't know where I got it from or if it's something I thought of. It's been that long. Have you ever had the moments like, where'd that come from? I wrote, "Forgiven, but bearing the scars." Because where I'm focused here this morning is, I understand, we know that if you're saved, you're saved. We know that if you're born again, you're born again. But I also know, as one being born again, that you can lose your path, you can get off track, and you can start thinking in the flesh. You can start living in the flesh. You can start dwelling in the flesh. You do not lose your salvation, because he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his name. But we can deny a lot of blessings because we do not center on his will. So let's look at this, the flesh against the spirit. This started early on in Genesis chapter 3. You may want to follow me. If you don't want to, that's fine. I'm going to preach it. But it began in chapter 3. We see some things happening there. In verse 1 it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." If you would, look over at chapter 2, verse 17. "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." We see something starting right here. We see this deception taking place. We also see an adjustment to God's word. She added something. There's many Bibles, or they call themselves Bibles and Holy Scriptures in the world that adds unto God's word, takes away from God's word. Be careful in that. Because what it can do is fill your mind and have you in a bad way. But we see deception starting there. What we see here in this already early on is no respect for authority. The command had been given not to do this. God gives the command, this is my word, don't do this. So we already see a rebelling against the authority of God. Then the next thing we see is no respect for his word. Rebelling against the word of God. Then the next thing we see is no respect for blessings. They didn't make anything. God had gifted and given. But he put parameters up. And I'm going to tell you, if you're here this morning and you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've been blessed. You've been gifted. But he has put parameters up. And if you're not saved and you're here this morning, then you're in a world with no parameters. But it's a world of darkness. And you will be cast into a place that has parameters. And I know preachers say it all the time. They say a devil's hell. God owns that hell. God made that hell. And he made it for people that will not follow his commands, his word, and deny his son Jesus Christ. Deception came early, early on. To follow the flesh is to rebel against God. When you rebel against God and you live in the flesh, what you're doing is you're taking and you're making the flesh and your thoughts and your decisions and your authority your guide of life. And that'll lead you off a cliff. The next thing is to live, to plant in the flesh will only produce corruption. Only produce corruption. Let's look at some more here in Genesis while we're here. I hope you can see the thread that starts to take place. Genesis 27. Let's look at verse 12. We all know, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. We understand it. And on the onset, you got to understand where we're headed here. We're talking as man, as people. We're dealing with flesh, spirit. We're dealing with some things that we're well aware of. Verse 12, it says, "My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." Now what's going on here? Back up verse 6, "And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth, and thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is an hairy man, and I am as a smooth man. And in the verse we just read, my father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go and fetch them. Now, where I'm headed with this, as we can move forward to chapter 29, and I'll tell you where to go here in just a minute, where I'm headed with this is what you're going to see is whatever is sown, you will reap. Whatever sown, you will reap. If you lie once, it's going to produce more lies. If you do produce more lies, they're going to produce more and more abundantly, and it keeps on until you stop.
That's right.
And repent and be cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way of salvation is through Jesus.
Amen.
But what we're seeing here is we're seeing a thread of deception. We're seeing a thread that's been used. It's nothing new in today's time. Verses 15, if you look at verse 15, look what happens here. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. So we're not going to read all the way through, but what happens? He got deceived, didn't he? He got deceived. One kernel producing more. He got deceived. And then what happens? He has to work longer. Because what happened is he was given Leah. Leah was not the goal. Leah was not the intent. The 7 years of work was for Rachel. But Laban knew how to adjust things. So then he's given Leah. And on and on it goes. You could go to Genesis 37. Genesis 37, verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. We see more deception taking place. We see the thread just continuing on and on. Now we know it was God's will. Joseph later says he's with him. God's grace, the many layers and levels of it, we'll never know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that he has secrets. The difference between you and I is that they're his secrets. We'll never know them.
That's right.
Your secret is, well, hey, don't tell anyone. When you do that, it's no longer a secret. A secret, something only you would keep. God has secrets. But what we see here is through Rachel. Who came through Rachel? Joseph, Benjamin. Who came through Leah? 10 others. You count that up, makes 12 tribes. After this, just for the sake of where we're headed in this message, then think about all the kings that come along. And he did do evil in the eyes of the Lord. And he did do evil in the eyes of the Lord. All of a sudden, there's a good one. And he served the Lord. And you think, hey, we're back on track. And he served the Lord. And he served the Lord. And he did do evil. One seed produces much fruit. And it's just a fact that will never change because God designed it. It's the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest of the flesh. Here's what we come to. We will reap what we sow. We reap abundantly more than we sow. The crop will reproduce. We will reap more in the future. Be careful what you sow. Be careful to sow discord. Be careful to bring trouble. Be careful to be too righteous. Back on the wheel. Be careful when you're down to stay down. There's a lot of things we have to be careful of. But what you will find is there's always a law of the harvest. There's always reaping and sowing. So let's move on now. Let's get to something a little more encouraging. Let's get to the law of the harvest of the Spirit as we deal with this law of the harvest. The first thing we understand, if you'll go back to Galatians with me, because I'm not going to walk you through it. You can study on your own time. You can check me. And back in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So what do we see the harvest of the Spirit? Well, we see eternal life, first of all. See, if you're unsaved in here and you've been sowing to corruption. You've been sowing to a field that's not worthy. You've been sowing in thorns and in thistles. Do you think it's important to be saved? Oh, I don't know if that stuff's true, preacher. I know y'all preach it. It's been preached all this time, but I don't know. You will know. The Bible tells us you'll know. You're going to give answer. You're going to give answer for that field. It's the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. Eternal life. John chapter 3. We know that. Everyone knows John 3:16. But turn there, if you will. I wasn't going to, but turn there. Because not every... I want you to lay your eyes on this. I wonder why they don't hang these out there at football games. This would be the verse to hang out there. I mean, if I was going to sit on the 50-yard line right down there, if I had a banner and had the money to have all that and they'd let me do it, they wouldn't let me put this one up. But here's one that needs to be up, verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." And as I said earlier this week, that word condemnation is the word Greek word krisis, where we get our English word crisis. Here's the crisis. This is what it is. Here's the crisis. That light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. It's very important that we understand this, folks, and we really get this in our mind. I think about Acts 16. I'm going to turn there next. Acts 16. The Philippian jailer, you know it well. Verse 31. Well, let's start at verse 30. It says, "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And their response was, "Have you ever heard of Tulip?" Is that what they said? Have you heard of election, sovereign grace? Anyone ever filled you in on that? What's it say there? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now some take that in thy house and think that one person covers the whole house. That's not the case. You keep reading, you find it out. You say, oh, what do you threw that up about election? I firmly believe in all of it. But I believe we should approach people just the way the apostle there approached. What must I do? Believe. See, I was talking about it with my wife. I'm all about people knowing the truth. But the Lord is the one that draws them. And if they believe, it's of the Lord. If they truly believe, it's of the Lord. No one's out wandering around looking for God. Romans 3 teaches us that. There's none that seeketh God. No, not one. Amen. I was preaching a couple weeks ago back at the church. And I said, you know, there's everybody, you know, we have nuns running around. You know, they dress special and everything. There's your nuns, Romans 3. Do you know you was a nun? I was a nun. Do you know that? I was a nun. I had all the garb on. I had the filth of the world upon me. I was in darkness. Because there's none that seeketh God. No, not one. There's none righteous. You read it. Take the account. There's four nuns of Rome there in Romans 3. And that's a fact. Said, believe. Believe. And without the Spirit, you can't believe. Without God awakening you, quickening you, you can't believe. Those are the things you learn afterwards. He's asked you, believe. I'll finish with this. Hope it doesn't offend you, but if it does, I'm sorry. Doesn't change what I think. But I just have not found in there where I'm supposed to put a fence up with barbed wire all around the cross of Calvary. There's no one going to sneak in on God. I can promise you that. What he has told us to do is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's your responsibility. You remember I said Deuteronomy 29:29? His secrets, his secrets. His choosing's his choosing. His doing's his doing. What are you doing? We need to worry about our doing and not his doing. He takes care of his business. Are we doing our business? The harvest of the Spirit. I was going to go to Acts 4, but I think we've covered enough of that. Let's look at Galatians 5:1 for just a moment. And right very close to our text. Here's the harvest of the Spirit. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. The harvest of the Spirit is freedom. Amen. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from darkness. Right. Freedom from the pangs of hell. And a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Isn't it a wonderful truth to know? As you can read in the Psalms, that he's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Then why is it we try to go back and search them out? We have in Philippians chapter 3, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, but pressing forth. Why do we want to dwell in the behind part? Because that flesh is strong. But God is stronger. He is sovereign. He is creator. And if we dwell in the Spirit, oh, the blessings that we would have, my friends. Oh, the blessings. Too many of our people, too many of us true Baptists, I don't need to say, you know who you are, sovereign, grace, staunch, Baptist, landmark, praise the Lord for it. We walk around with our heads down. We walk around unhappy. We walk around as if we're not free. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
That's right.
Then we drop down.
Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. True service starts with love. True service does not start with grudge. It is not my job to go around this country trying to straighten every church out.
Amen.
And if it's not my job, neither is it yours.
Right.
Our job is to be witnessing. Our job is to tell people about the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our people is to let them know there is a Savior. There is a true God. That's our job. And don't forget this. For those that would say, well, you know, you got to be careful in that because we don't want the blood of Christ wasted. Well, then read Hebrews 10:20. In fact, let's turn there. Let's read Hebrews 10:22 and let's see if that theology or that philosophy matches. Hebrews 10. Let us look at verse 22. A lot of preaching right in that one verse. Let us draw near. What would that mean? The only way you can draw near is because you're out there far. Let us draw near.
Right.
Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
Amen.
You say, well, wait, get back to that blood, talking about wasted blood. Do you see it? Verse 22? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Back in the Old Testament, there was a certain time they would go in and sprinkle, was there not? Well, let me tell you this, there's a certain time when your heart's been sprinkled from an evil conscience. You didn't trip and fall into blood. The blood of Jesus Christ has been placed upon you by our sovereign God. There's no blood wasted. So, to answer the question, be careful. Be careful now. You know, you could become Arminian with that. Well, then who's Matthew 28 speaking to? Go ye into all the world. Our duty is to witness. God does the saving. You know, I used to not like the term. I had some friends of mine that, you know, we're soul winners. We're soul winners. We're soul winners. And I don't like it in a sense because I know God's the one that wins souls. But the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. What I'm telling you, he's given us a duty to preach the gospel. He's given us a mandate. He's given us a commission. And only one church has that authority. And it's the Lord's church. The harvest of the Spirit. Liberty and faith. I think about that, the Spirit. What do you mean to this harvest of the Spirit? Well, think of this. We know in Romans 4, talking about imputing the righteousness. Because Romans 3 teaches there's none righteous, no, not one. So if there's any righteousness in us, it's been imputed unto us by faith. And he uses Abraham there, and he describes that before circumcision, it was by his belief, his trust. Jeremiah 4:3, I would tell you hard-hearted here today, whoever you might be, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. The soil's got to be prepped. The soil's got to be ready. Because it will bring forth a harvest in the Spirit if it takes root. Then let's look at the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians. See, I'm looking at this and I look out and I look at my brethren and I look at myself sometimes. You know, we ought to make a habit of taking this right here. You know, first thing, my habit is, first thing I want to do when I roll out of bed is brush my teeth. first thing I want to do. I think I've spoke to some that's forward to, but that's the first thing I want to do. Get my breath clean. Get my teeth clean. Get ready to go. But you know, really, it'd be a good habit if first thing we do, take this and look, stand in front of the mirror. Does this match what we're fixing to read? Does this match what we're fixing to read? Let's read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Here's a new one. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And then we get to where we've been. There's the attitude we should have, and the harvest of the Spirit, it should be bearing fruit. There should be a good harvest. Could your neighbors see the fruit? Do your neighbors know that you produce fruit? Have they ever partaken of the fruit you produce? I have a garden at home. Years back, 3-4 years ago, it was abundant. I mean, it's just like I could just walk out there. I could just drop seed everywhere. And I mean, just large cucumber plants and just popping up everywhere. I mean, we were out there. The neighbors were amazed at the cucumbers. I was feeding the church cucumbers. I was feeding them mustard greens. I was feeding them collard greens. I mean, we couldn't eat it all. And it did my heart good to be able to share with the members. And they were loving the cucumbers because we have one that just won't eat nothing but organic. So she was loving that. You know, and she's right. The cucumbers taste different than the ones you get in the store. It produced fruit. But this year, I went out there and I tilled the ground and tried to do the best I could. And we sowed the dung and we put everything in there and we put the seed and got the sprinkler. I mean, I've got so high tech now, we got the sprinklers right down the center. I don't have to stand out over the hose. I can just go over and flip a knob and the whole garden just, you know, is watered and everything. And boy, those seeds, they just popped up. I mean, rows of them. You could just see it all with the whole family. We're out there, you know, it's just, just having a good time. Look at this. Look. You know, we were in a maze and they shot right up and then something happened. They just stopped. They just got about right there and stopped. And they're still right there. Still growing. No, still living, not growing. And I thought, and Rebecca put in a lot of work with me, and she's like, I'm not giving up. And she kept on, and she went out there, and she calls it potash. It's potash is what it is. And put potash out there, and we did everything we can trying to bring health back to these things. Something's wrong. Something's off. And trying to bring health. And boy, then they shot up a little further and then they stopped again. And at first in my heart, I was very aggravated about it. I put a lot of time into this. A lot of money's went into this. We got our water bill. A lot of money's went into this. And just being here this week preparing for this sermon, it's I've had to backtrack. So now let me tell you the real story. I was running behind, and I tilled the ground quickly, and I raked the grass out quickly, and I tilled it again quickly, and I raked the grass out quickly. The other neighbors had tilled theirs months prior and just kept tilling and working it. Their gardens are about that high. Mine still. It makes a difference what you put in. The more you put in, the more you'll get out. I thought, shame on you, pastor. Shame on you, preacher. You haven't put the time in, but you're expecting an abundant crop. The Spirit will feed. It'll feed all those around you.
if you'll put the time in. Mm-hmm. But to put the time in, you got to get out of the flesh.
Amen.
And then what'll happen, you're going to have a crop that you can share with everyone. That's the law of the harvest. It's also made me realize I got to be a little long here. What's it say? We just read the fruit of it. Long-suffering. Gentle. I've never been accused of being gentle by our folks at church. There's some things I got to work on. Patience. I'm type A. Let's do it. Let's do it now. We can build this. Let's go. But then, you know, I got to remember there's people that's not quite there yet. The fruit of the Spirit. So how are we going to gain on this? And I think we can finish this out. If you'll just bear with me, we got just a few more minutes here. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. How are we going to accomplish living in the Spirit? Pastor, preacher, Brother Tate, Joe's friend, whatever you want to call me. When I leave here today, I've heard the message. I got it. It's affected me. But can you give me the first steps? Get home and I open the box. Now what? Well, let's look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5 says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience." Ouch. "And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness." Uh-oh. "And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren," or look at the word coming up, "or," what's it say, "unfruitful, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Now, I'm a guy that likes numbers. I like when the Lord lines numbers up. If you count them out there, the first thing you got to have is faith. So, because it said add to your, what? Faith. Then you got virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, charity. Let me count them here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So there's 7 things I add to faith. Unless my number's off. I checked it over and over, but I think I'm right. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. That's 4. Godliness, kindness, charity. 5, 6, 7. So there's 7 things that can mature your faith. 7 we know is considered to be the number of completion, but it's also to be the number of perfection. But then you add faith to it, we got the number 8. The number 8 is the number of new beginnings. If you go to Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 5, and then we're going to go to chapter 4 of Philippians. Chapter 2 and verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now go to chapter 4. Verses 6 through 9. Again, recipe. How do I get back into living in the Spirit, preacher? How do I do these things? I'm saved. I don't doubt that. I know I'm not living the way I should. I know I'm not the Christian I should be. I know I'm not the disciple I should be. I know I'm not the blood-bought person I should be. Verse 6. "Be careful for nothing." That's anxiety. That's worry. Worry for nothing. "But in everything by prayer." So we're starting to get somewhere. If we're lacking a little bit in life, we're lacking some power in our life, it could be, it starts right there, you're lacking in your prayer life. "And supplication."
with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now here we go, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Eight things. New beginning. And happens to be in what? Verse what? Eight. We can be stronger Christians. We can be happier Christians. The Lord has blessed us more than we ever deserve. So I want to close with this. Back in Galatians, if you would turn there, and I don't think we got you turning anymore after that, then we'll take our break. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto some men. Brother Charlie said, no, I do that on purpose. I do that on purpose because sometimes it'll really make it stand out to you. All men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I'd say to you, now is the time. Now is the season. We're coming into a new season. You're coming into a new season. The churches represented here are coming into a new season. Now is the time. We need to be strong and very courageous, as you'll find there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Very courageous. There's no accident in God's word. Very courageous. We should not be weak. See that word weary? Here's what it means. Give in as a weak bowstring. I shoot bow and arrows. I like it. It's fun. Compound bows, I love it. I like to hear that smack when that thing hits down there. My dad won't do it because he's 76, 77 now. His eyes aren't as good as mine, which mine's quickly going away. But we'll shoot there at 20, 30, 40 yards. And boy, we have fun. I'm like, hey, Dad, let's back her up to 60. Let's back it up to 80. You say, yeah, did you lose the arrow? I did. But I also hit it. You're never going to hit the mark unless you shoot. But I can tell you, with a weak bowstring, you're not going to hit 10 yards. We can't be weary. We must have energy. And we must do it in great degree. That word especially there, where it says especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially, that's what it means. It means particularly. It means in great degree. It means even more so, especially those of the household of faith. And that word faith, when you look it up, it means credence, moral conviction. It means brethren. It means brethren. So what I have to say to you this morning is always consider the law of the harvest. Be careful what seed you're planting, because it will bring a harvest. That is the law of the harvest. Reaping, sowing, and reaping. I see a lot of work for myself in this. I see a lot of work for myself to be a little more long-suffering. I see a lot of work in myself to be a little more loving. I see a lot of work in myself to don't have a knee-jerk reaction to something said or something done. We must be dwelling in the Spirit. So I pray this has helped you this day.
Brother Joe, if you'll come now.